Well, the second reading concludes with this beautiful line: "Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Well, it is an acceptable time. It's Lent. The day of salvation is, of course, Easter, but Lent is connected to Easter. It's the sacred time of preparation for Easter. So, yes, it's a day of salvation. Today's liturgy takes its name from this strange ceremony of putting ashes on our heads. So let's start there. Ashes. Ashes don't strike us as being particularly holy. Or maybe because we're used to Ash Wednesday, we think of it. But aside from Ash Wednesday, we wouldn't think of ashes as a holy thing. I mean, we can think of almost anything else being used for a holy purpose: water, bread, oil, sacred images, candles, metals, things we use for prayer. But ashes? I mean, ashes are like the end of the line. That's the leftovers. After everything is done, that's all we have left is ashes. So it's a surprising thing to think that there's something sacred about ashes, or that we can bless ashes and use them in our spiritual life. But the ancient tradition of the church, in fact, even back to the Jews, ashes are very significant in our spiritual life, because they are a reminder to us of the need for repentance and a reminder to us of our eventual death. The two meanings of the ashes. Well, first of all, repentance. We're going to leave behind sin and everything that leads us to sin, and death. We are going to recall that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. That's exactly what the priest says. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember, you are ashes, and to ashes you will return. Why do we want to remember that? People say, why remember that we're ashes? First of all, because it's true, but also because it puts everything into perspective. If we are dust and we're going to return to dust, what are we supposed to do with our time? Certainly not spend our whole life gaining things that are going to turn to ashes. Certainly not spending our whole life on things that are going to pass away, just like we are, our bodies are. It gives us perspective that there's something to life that's more than simply material things and sensual pleasures. There's more. So it's a great beginning. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, it's a very popular thing. Everyone wants to receive the ashes on Ash Wednesday. It's interesting, though, that the church doesn't require us to have ashes, and it doesn't require us to go to Mass on Ash Wednesday. The requirement is fasting and abstinence. Fasting and abstinence. That's what every Catholic is called to do today. Well, that takes us to today's Gospel, where Jesus teaches us the three essential practices of the spiritual life: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. The tripod of practices in the spiritual life. When we think about it, it makes sense that we emphasize prayer, because prayer is all about our relationship with God. And anyone who believes in God and loves God knows that that should be a top priority for us. No one should say, I'm finished praying. I've got my relationship with God in perfect order, and I don't have to do anymore. It's good enough already. No one can say that. So when we turn to Lent, we say, well, how can I improve or strengthen or deepen my relationship with God? Prayer. So that's pretty obvious. Almsgiving is actually pretty obvious if we have any sense of how love works. Almsgiving is all about love of neighbor, right? It makes sense to us that we should strive to be more charitable, more patient, more kind. We should be kinder, that we should be other-centered. That's not difficult to understand. It's hard to do, because we tend to take care of ourselves first, but it makes sense to us that we should practice almsgiving or charity, that we should look out for the good of others, especially the poor, the needy, the sick, the lonely. Of the three, fasting is the weird one, or the one that doesn't strike us as being immediately obvious. Why fast? Why give up something that's perfectly good? What does that have to do with anything? What good does it do? But again, the ancient tradition, actually not only the Judeo-Christian tradition, but all religions teach that fasting is part of the spiritual life. You might know that the Muslims begin their period of fasting today, Ramadan. They take a month of fasting. We take 40 days of fasting, Lent. So it happens that we're united in that sense of recognizing the importance of self-denial for our spiritual life. Well, on this topic of fasting, I'd like to just focus on one particular issue. Usually fasting has to do with food, right? That's the traditional meaning, abstaining from some food. But the church in our times has started to emphasize the importance of fasting from other things as well. And in the Philippines here, the Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines just released a pastoral letter for Lent. And it's all about fasting, but not fasting from food, fasting from digital media. It's a little bit ironic that I learned about this through the digital media. In fact, through the secular news, maybe you saw it. It was in the Philippine Daily Inquirer. And I got in my news feed, oh, the bishops are telling us to fast from social media. So the social media are the ones who told us about this. So I looked it up in the CBCP website, and sure enough, there's a letter here from Archbishop Garcia, the president of the CBCP, and it's about fasting, but specifically digital media fasting. So it's not a long letter, but I'm going to pick out a few highlights of it because I think this is really important for our fasting, our Lent this year. This isn't new, actually. Pope Francis spoke about this many times during his pontificate. But here it is. The invitation of the CBCP is to undertake digital media fasting as a contemporary expression of conversion and renewal. So the Archbishop says, yes, it's true that fasting is traditionally associated with foods, but it also means cutting ourselves off from whatever distracts us from God or interferes with our relationship with God or interferes with our love of others. And in our times, for sure, that is the digital media. This is how the Archbishop says it. Today, constant engagement with phones, social media, streaming, gaming, and online entertainment often absorbs our attention and weakens our interior life. True fasting, as Jesus teaches, is not an external performance, but an interior conversion. Digital media fasting, therefore, invites a rediscovery of silence, prayer, contemplation, and authentic relationships. It is not meant to punish the body, but to free the heart. This is true of all fasting. Fasting isn't against food or against any good thing. Fasting doesn't mean giving up sinful things. We don't give up eating poison for Lent. We shouldn't eat poison anyway. In the case of social media, we shouldn't be using social media for evil things, for pornography, for online gaming, or for attacking the dignity of others. That's not fasting. That's just avoiding sin or repenting from sin. What this fasting is real fasting is giving up something that's legitimately good, but is out of place or it's excessive. So here's what the Archbishop says. Technology is a blessing when used responsibly, yet excessive media use often leads to distraction, fatigue, loss of focus, weakened relationships, and diminished spiritual awareness. Constant connectivity leaves little room for silence and reflection. Many struggle to be present to God and others because screens constantly demand attention. Digital media fasting helps restore balance and reminds us that technology must serve human life, not dominate it. And just think of your own use of the digital media. And this is especially true with young people, but I find it true of everybody. As soon as you start, it's very hard to stop. You look up something online, and then there's something else very interesting online, and then that's a link to something else. And then an hour goes by, and you find out, wait a minute, I lost an hour. I don't even know what happened to it. Digital media fasting is not simply about giving something up. It's about making room for something better. By limiting digital consumption, we create time for prayer, reading scriptures, Eucharistic devotion, works of mercy, and meaningful encounters with others. Fasting redirects attention from self-centered habits to the loving service of others. It is not deprivation, but transformation. You can look this up yourself. I mean, use your digital media and use your social media to look up this, this letter of Archbishop Garcia. He gives six practical ways to practice digital media fasting. I'll just mention these. I won't read the whole letter, but here's six practical ways to practice digital media fasting. First of all, avoid phone use before sleep and upon waking. Before sleep and upon waking, which is typically when people get trapped. They are using their social media late into the night, or it's the first thing they do when they wake up. So if you cut those two things out of your life during Lent, you're already making a huge step forward. A huge step forward. Two, limit social media and streaming time. Okay, that's kind of generic, but yes, meaning it's not unlimited, it's limited. Three, observe device-free meals and gatherings. Device-free meals and gatherings, good practice. You know what's happened? The devices invade every social setting. So in order, and it just happens naturally because they're interesting, they're convenient, they're familiar. It's actually easier to be on social media than to interact with real people. But that's the thing. Make an effort during Lent to create device-free meals and gatherings. Number four, practice occasional 24-hour or weekend digital fasts. Set aside a whole chunk of time when you're not going to use social media, or digital media. Very good practice. Number five, remove distracting apps. I'm not sure which apps are the most distracting, but if you have apps that are not helping you, then yes, delete them. And then number six, replace screen time with prayer, service, reading, or conversation. Now, one thing about fasting, and this is true of all fasting, not only digital media fasting, but fasting is connected to prayer and almsgiving. And it goes like this. We fast not because we're against any good thing, but in order to make room. We fast in order to make space in our inner life for God. So whether it's fasting from food, which we do on Ash Wednesday, or fasting from digital media, which we can do certainly today and through Lent, it makes room for God. Once we make room for God, we have time for prayer and we can focus on prayer. Once we are strengthened in our connection with God, then we recognize the need of others and we can dedicate ourselves to serve others. So these three go together. If we make room for God by fasting and we fill ourselves with what is healthy, then we are in a better position to overflow with love for others. The three go together. What happens when we don't fast is we don't make room for God or for anyone else. We sink into our own self-centered world. And that's why I think the Archbishop and the Bishop's Conference, very wise to promote this digital media fasting. He has a whole list of the fruits we can expect from it and then all kinds of things. Actually, kind of repetitive, it talks about it. It's not anti-technology, it's for the good purpose of using technology for the kingdom. Okay, so that's not all there is to Lent, of course. Lent is not summarized by using ashes, and it's not summarized by digital media fasting, but these are all parts of the journey that we begin today, this 40-day journey a preparation for Easter. I encourage you to make a clear program for yourselves. Decide what you're going to do during Lent, how you're going to observe Lent. Decide today. Because if you don't decide, it won't happen. Decide how you're going to pray better, how you're going to fast. I encourage the digital media fasting. How you're going to do acts of charity. What are you going to do practically? And put it into practice. You won't be successful, but at least you'll be better off than you were yesterday. In fact, this morning. So, good. It's a very holy and welcome season, the Lenten season. It's an opportunity for us to grow, first to get back on track, but also to grow. Grow in ways that our own hearts desire. And certainly this is what God wants of us, to grow in communion with Him, with one another, to be free from the snares of sin, so that we can put ourselves at the service of God and our neighbor.